Hi, friends. For the last year and a half, I have been learning how to speak Spanish. Estoy aprendiendo a hablar en español. I've been using this little app called Duolingo. It's about 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. It kind of turns learning a language into a game, which makes it kind of fun and relaxing. And I've been really enjoying that. Well, after about a year and a half of 10 to 15 minutes a day, I'm starting to pick up on things a little bit. I can understand most signs in Spanish, and if I'm listening to somebody who's like a native Spanish speaker, as long as they're not speaking too quickly, I can usually catch the kind of general gist of what's being said. But the truth is, I am a long, long, long way away from real fluency. If somebody who is speaking, like for whom Spanish is their first language, was speaking to me, probably sueno como un preescolar. Probably I would sound like a preschooler to them. My grammar is bad. My pacing is bad. There's just a lot I need to do. But one of the kind of positive things that's come out of this is to see what happens when I'm in a conversation with somebody who, well, for whom Spanish is their native language, it's their first language, and just how graciously my preschool level language efforts are actually received. When somebody hears me speak in Spanish, at least if they're a native Spanish speaker, most of the time, there's this little kind of spark of connection. You see their eyes kind of light up. They sort of lean into the conversation. And that's been really kind of cool to experience some of that. And I've been just thinking about that, especially as we go into the story that we're going to be looking at today in Acts chapter 2. But before we do, if you have ever learned another language, no matter how little you've learned of that other language, take a moment and just post that in the comments so we can get to know and encourage one another. Well, anyways, as I'm speaking my preschool level now, Spanish, to somebody, it's just amazing how there is that connection. Because I think all of us, well, we all long to be heard. And I think there's something kind of special, beautiful that happens when we connect in the language of the heart. Where when somebody makes an effort, no matter how small, makes an effort to listen to someone in their language rather than asking someone to learn theirs in order to communicate. And this idea of reaching out in somebody's native language is right at the heart of the story we're going to look at today. Now, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, where this is part of a series called Acts of the Holy Spirit, where we have been challenging each other to spend 10 or more minutes a day in the book of Acts, really in the Bible anywhere, but especially in the book of Acts, looking to notice the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit work? What is the Holy Spirit doing? So that we can look for those same patterns in our own lives today. Remembering that the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writers of the Bible, the same Holy Spirit that was active and present in the early church and enabled the gospel to thrive even in the midst of tremendous challenge, that same Holy Spirit is available and here with us today as followers of Jesus. And as we look at this story in Acts chapter 2, the story of Pentecost, it's almost impossible to overstate how important this moment is. Because, you know, here at Pentecost, the Spirit starts to do something, especially two things we're going to look at today, two things that are new expressions of faith. Now, they're very much consistent with the things that, well, with God's character and with the things that have been prophesied at this point now for more than 1,000 years, and over the next weeks we'll kind of delve into that more. But nonetheless, it's something radically new. It's a new expression of faith. And it's one that, when we take the time to think about it, all of us should be just tremendously grateful for. Because, you know, if you come from any ancestral line that is not natively Jewish, then you are a Gentile. You're somebody that, well, that's not Jewish. And this is the moment, this is the moment where the message of the gospel, of what it means to be saved by Jesus, to belong to God, to be a people of God, it starts to cross first this language barrier, and then it's about to cross the all these national barriers. And it's happening right here at Pentecost. Also, it's in that same, that crossing of national, you know, barriers of, I mean, this is the moment where the truth comes to light, a truth that then has gone on to shape our nation even. Like, you think of the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, the truth that we all hold, the idea that all men, or as we probably put it in more gender-inclusive language today, that all people are created equal. You know, that idea that founded our nation, this idea that we are still learning how to live into, and we are, you know, we rightly are straining against every point where that truth is not being fully expressed yet. But that truth, that bedrock truth, it came from somewhere. It came from here. And it came specifically as the result of this moment in Pentecost, at Pentecost. So, with that in mind, let's read God's Word together. So I invite you to open up your Bibles or your Bible apps, or you can follow along on the screen here. And as you're hearing the story, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, I'd just like you to imagine what it might have been like to be there in this incredible moment. So the disciples, probably about 120 people, they're gathered in a large house, maybe the temple courts of some sort, but they're in a large space. And they're doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do in Acts chapter 1, which is wait for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And then, just a few days after Jesus has ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit shows up in power. Let's read about it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Now, that's a really good question. Now, the early church in the chapters to come, they're going to be wrestling with that question in increasing ways, as they come to discover that this is the moment where God is revealing to them something that has been prophesied for more than 1,000 years, that the gospel is for all people, and that the Jews are meant to be a light to all nations. And this is the moment where the message of Jesus goes international. It's incredible. So, in this moment, there are some pieces where God is moving in perhaps some familiar ways. I mean, scary ways, dramatic ways, but familiar ways. Let's take a look at those before we look at the two things that, or at least the two things here in this moment that I think are new. So, let's pick things up. First, a sound of the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Can you imagine that? But that's something that God has done in the past, hasn't he? You think of Elijah on Mount Horeb and how there's this rushing, violent wind, followed by the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. Then there's a fire and tongues of fire that separates and comes on top of comes to rest on all of them. And you think about how God has spoken through fire, Moses in the burning bush, or even the pillar of fire that led the Israelites in the desert. But then there are two things that are new expressions of the Holy Spirit. Let's pick that up in verse 4. I'll put it up on the screen. So, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there's at least two new things happening here. Let's look at the first one. Well, the one that you probably noticed first is the one that I noticed first. It's the idea that they are speaking in other languages. You know, so here's a map of the Middle East, and you see Jerusalem there where Pentecost is happening, the same place where Jesus died, where Jesus rose again. And then you see the nations around it that are represented in this moment, where people from all of those places and all of those native languages find themselves in Jerusalem experiencing this moment. Isn't it interesting how, you know, if you put this on a map, you see something. And I wonder if God is trying to communicate something here. That you know, this message of Jesus and this event, his death and his resurrection that happens in Jerusalem, the message is going to radiate out in every direction, to the north, to the northwest, to the south, to the east, in every direction. The gospel goes international. It starts to spread. And there's this first truth that this passage communicates, that God speaks your language. And God understands you in your native language. It's incredible, isn't it? You know, that's one of the reasons why Christians have historically been at the forefront of linguistic work in the world. That's why the Bible is translated into so many different languages. In fact, in some cases, the Bible is the very first work of literature to be put into writing in some languages. So you think of like the Wycliffe translators and all this incredible work that has happened over the centuries as Christians have lived out this moment in finding ways to express the good news of Jesus in every language. And this also reminds us of something that is true, uniquely true perhaps, about Christianity. That Christianity in its fullest expression is incredibly diverse. Now, there are these common beliefs, maybe even refer back to our Apostles' Creed series on that. There's these common beliefs on who God is and who Jesus is and why we need Jesus, our need for forgiveness of our sins and the truth of his dying for our sins and rising again from the grave. There's truths like that that are common, but the way that they get expressed as the gospel spreads throughout the world is incredibly diverse. The Christians worship in every language, in ways that have reflections of this broad diversity of cultures. Now, the gospel will change every culture that comes to hear it, because the gospel just changes the human heart from the inside out. But nonetheless, Christianity gets experienced and expressed in so many different beautiful ways. Now, of course, there are times where the church has not lived out that truth. You think of things like colonialism and times where the approach the church has taken and Christians have taken is the approach that's similar to almost every other human religion or philosophy, kind of this idea of, if you want to get things right, you've got to learn how to be more like me. So speak like me, dress like me, talk like me if you want to follow my God. But when the church gets it right, when we live out this Pentecost moment, we live out as Pentecostal people on the mission of God, there's incredible diversity. You don't need to learn Hebrew to become a Christian. The Bible is the Bible in English, in Spanish, in Russian, in Swahili, in German. Whatever language you speak, God meets you there. He speaks every language. He listens in every language. It's a beautiful, incredible truth. But that's the first thing that's happening in this moment. But let's take a look at that passage and take a look at the second thing. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I don't know if you picked up on this other thing, but the first three words of that sentence, all of them. That's a new thing too. You see, in the past, the way that God would primarily communicate is through a prophet or through a prophetic leader. So through one person or through a small group of people. But here in this moment, something new starts to happen, where the primary way that God communicates his message to the world, the primary way that the gospel is expressed, is not through a singular leader, though there will be leaders who rise up, but through a people, through the body of Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus, as you ask Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit entered your life, and you are part of the family of faith. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You are a gift from God, and you have gifts from God. All of us, all who follow Jesus, every sincere, authentic follower of Christ, regardless of nationality or language or socioeconomic, any human barrier, none of those things matter. None, at least in terms of the gospel. God uses all people together to share his message and to spread his love around the world, because God wants all people to hear about Jesus. So as we think about, you know, this passage and what it means for us today, just want to hear a few maybe ways we can reflect on it. Have you ever maybe felt like you didn't have very much to offer? Well, a passage like this, it reminds us that you do. Everyone does. And so, you know, maybe one way to even respond to that today, and I just invite you to do that along with real-time me right now, is just to post something that's a little bit like this, to say, God, I am available. That, Lord, whatever you want to do in me and through me, I am available. Lord, please use me today. Because God uses all of us together, because God wants to reach all people and all people groups. And then maybe the second thing, the way that we might want to be applying something like that today is maybe just where, as I've been trying to listen to the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, and in light of all that's happening in the world around us, this reminds me of, you know, how if God reaches out to people of every language, if God speaks every language like we see right here, and we know from the gospel how, I mean, God doesn't ask people to come to him. He goes to them first. Like, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He came to us in our need. He's the good shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes to the one. And in our places of lostness, in our places of brokenness and darkness, he comes to us, meeting us in our own language. Gets me thinking about just the importance of listening and listening well. Certainly first and foremost to the Holy Spirit, but also listening to one another. And especially listening, and the importance of listening to those voices in our culture that we might otherwise not hear. You know, I wonder what it's like to be a minority in America, to be a black person, a native person, a Latino person. And I realized that often, at least as a white male, I haven't heard their stories, at least not very well and not fully. And if I'm looking to follow a God who speaks every language and listens in every language, I need to learn to listen better. So that's some of the journey that I'm on right now. Now, to listen well, it's not compromise. In fact, it's consistent with the heart of God. To listen well is not to abandon values. To listen well, you still think, you still analyze, you still question. But oftentimes, listening is that first step of connection. To learn to speak in somebody else's language, to enter into somebody else's experience instead of just asking them to meet you in your own. And in the world right now where it just feels like at times, maybe you experience this too, it just feels like we are filled with posting and yelling and tweeting and everybody just expressing themselves. Maybe the way forward is to take time to pause and to listen before we speak. Hearing, perhaps, is the first part of healing. Now, I don't know how that lands with you, but I want to hear it. I would invite you to join me Thursday night. There's an amazing group of folks that are just meeting online on Zoom, and we're talking about what we're hearing in God's Word and looking to apply that to our own lives, including all of the things that we're experiencing around us in our culture. I'd love to have you join me there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Because I just imagine what the church could be in this moment. And how even these moments of Pentecost, this moment where we can affirm that God loves all people, that God reaches out to all people, that God goes the extra mile, that God meets especially those who are distant from Him. How God especially hears people in their own language. Just wonder what could happen and what an agent of healing the church could be as we live that out. And I just want to thank you, church, for the many ways that you're already doing that. I'm seeing you loving like Jesus in your generosity of goods. I mean, you're giving like crazy to the food bank. You've been beautifully supportive with even supporting the church during this really hard time. And seeing you being gracious in terms of your attitude towards others. Lord, may we be people who listen to you well. And Lord, may we be people who listen to one another carefully, thoughtfully, thoroughly, wisely, and well. And if you are just starting on your journey of faith, I hope that as a church we can be helpful to you. So message me, message any of the other pastors here. That's why we're here. We love to walk with you. We want to hear your story as you discover how Jesus is a part of your life and how all of us can be growing in our faith together. So let me just pray for us and thanks for spending some time with. Thanks for being able to spend some time together today. Lord, thank you for what you are doing in the world. Thank you for this moment of Pentecost that reminds us that you speak our language. God, thank you for speaking my language. God, thank you that because of this moment where the gospel went international, that my ancestors, were able to hear the gospel and they were able to pass it on to me so I could know the love of Jesus. God, thank you that how from this moment you have sent out missionaries to every corner of the planet and to every language. And even as that work is just on the cusp of even being completed in our time, God, Lord, may you draw and continue to draw all people to yourself. And Lord, would you use all of us together, all who follow Jesus from every nation, from every language, from every race, would you use all of us together to be ambassadors of your love to a world that is hurting, a world that is anxious, a world that is at times just filled with pain, and a world that just needs you so desperately. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.